ASAP. Any score, any play, we'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
What is up and welcome into the Lockdown Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer and John Kegley on today's show as well, the Chargers Encyclopedia and one of the original members of the show. But before we get started, this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, happy Friday. We have a fun show filled for you guys today. We're going to be starting with the news that the NFL's opt-out deadline has passed and no Los Angeles Chargers decided to sit the season out. So that's great news. And also, we'll get into the fact that the Chargers haven't had to put anyone on their COVID-19 reserve list either. So all good signs for the Chargers going into training camp as they heat up for the season. But in the second segment, we're going to be getting into some voicemails. We have voicemails from Zach, Matt, and also Josh from Wisconsin on today's show about Pro Football Focus grades, as well as maybe signing Jadeveon Clowney. So we'll get into that in the second segment before wrapping up the show with the Athletics 2020 offensive and defensive ranking. So the Chargers, as you can imagine, scored very highly on the defensive side of the ball and not so great on the offensive side of the ball. So that's how we'll wrap the show up today, but let's go ahead and get into it. The 2020 NFL opt-out deadline has passed and no Los Angeles Chargers decided to sit the season out. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Thursday was the deadline for NFL players to opt out of the season and no Los Angeles Chargers decided to opt out, which is great news for the team. If they were to opt out, they would have made at least $150,000, which is a stipend for their next year's contract, and this year of their contract would have rolled over to the next season, but the Chargers do not have to worry about that because they were one of the few teams that did not have a player opt out. And I think what that really speaks to is just this Chargers culture that Anthony Lynn came in and said he was going to change. And I think his leadership and the Chargers getting people to really follow what the team wanted them to do as far as keeping themselves out of high-risk situations while the team could not be involved with them is really what led to this. And also these players' faith in this team that they are going to take care of them. So, David, obviously good news because we are waiting for this deadline and it passed and no Chargers decided to opt out when we've seen many players across the league do so.
There wasn't even any whispers of any Chargers thinking about opting out, or at least we did not get any word of that taking place. The NFL did have 66 players that did make the decision to opt out of the NFL season. Unfortunately for the Chargers, they did not have any. They were among only three teams in the NFL that did not have any players opt out of this NFL season. The other two were the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons. It's very good news that that did not happen because they could be like teams like the Patriots, who had eight players opt out of the NFL season and some very significant important guys as well. Offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, safety Patrick Chung, linebacker Dont'a Hightower, wide receiver Marquise Lee. These are all key impact players for the Patriots that are not going to be with the team this year. Imagine if the Chargers were playing this season without Joey Bosa or Melvin Ingram or Derwin James. That would have been catastrophic for the Chargers season. I think this is definitely a testament to the Chargers organization, how they've laid out the COVID-19 protocols and as well as educated their players to make them feel safe and comfortable to play the NFL season.
And I think it is directly involved with the Chargers not having to have placed anyone on their COVID-19 reserve list at this point. There have been a ton of players who have been placed on the list, which is basically if you have tested positive for the coronavirus or if you had been in close contact with anyone who had the coronavirus, and the Chargers have not had to put anyone on that list so far. And I think you've seen it even in places like the MLB, where somebody on the team or even in the division has it, or there's an outbreak on that team and you see players from other teams deciding to opt out. The Chargers have had zero players to this point who have tested positive for the coronavirus, zero staff members that have tested positive for the coronavirus. So I think that had a direct impact on these players thinking, hey, this team is taking care of us. They're doing things the right way. And if we stick this season out, it is obviously going to be unsafe, but we're going to get the better of those situations, David. And I think that is a testament to the Chargers. Zero players opting out, and more importantly, zero players that have contracted the coronavirus to this point.
I think that can't be understated as well. With the players, it's got to be incredibly important that the organization is making them feel safe and that there has been no reported COVID-19 positive tests. I'm sure that is spread around to the rest of the team. But as of July 21st, a total of 95 players had tested positive for the coronavirus. Since then, the NFL Players Association said that 56 players have tested positive for the COVID-19 since players began reporting to training camp last week. That's approximately 2% of players that are currently on NFL rosters. The NFL did say that if they had a positivity rate under 5%, they would go from testing every day to testing every other day. So it's not as good as 0% that the NBA and the NHL have achieved, but practicing sports outside of a bubble, this is great news for the NFL and for the Chargers.
There's no other way to look at it. And I think when these things are happening all across the country, there is always going to be a little bit of luck involved, just not finding yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I do think this shows that the Chargers have been preaching to these players in Zoom meetings and all the time that they were not actually allowed to have them at the facility to not put themselves in high risk situations. I mean, you've seen places like Clemson in college football have 25 plus players test positive for the coronavirus. So to see the Chargers with an 80 man roster at this point and have zero positive tests between all of those players and all of the coaching staff is something that is which is something that is not easy to do, especially since the NFL released the likelihood of players getting it in different cities. And according to that list, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams play in the 10th highest concentration of COVID-19 cases of all NFL cities. So they are in a place where it has been very rampant and they've still managed to stay safe, and they are all here to go into the season. But obviously things change when the pads come on. Once these players are having to have physical practices and they're going to be close to each other, things can obviously change quickly. But at least for the Chargers, you have to feel good about the fact that the way they're doing things right now, if something were to happen, if a player were to test positive for the coronavirus, they would be able to handle it swiftly and stop it from becoming an outbreak or something much larger. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to get into some voicemails about Pro Football Focus, the offensive line, and Jadeveon Clowney before wrapping up the show, getting into the Athletics list, ranking all of the offenses and defenses in the NFL. But first thing I need to tell you guys is there's nothing more frustrating in the world when something goes wrong with your car and you need a new part for it, because where do you go to get it? It's so hard to find specific parts for specific cars and years and models, but I can change all that for you guys with rockauto.com. The best part about rockauto.com is they're not only going to have the part that you need, but they're also going to be able to give it to you at the same price as they would to a mechanic or somebody that doesn't know what they're doing with cars. So you don't have to wonder if somebody is trying to rip you off on a part because you don't know what you're talking about. And the best thing is you can find anything you need there, from control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks and they'll deliver it directly to your door, so you don't have to go shopping from traditional chain storefront to another chain storefront. And all you have to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts they have available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, well, it's time to get into our voicemail segment. If you're new to the show, we try to have you guys on the show as much as possible, and anyone can call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924, and we try to get every Chargers voicemail played on the show. So today, we have three to get into, but we're going to start with Matt in Huntington Beach, who has a couple of questions about the Chargers offensive line. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, guys. This is Matt in Huntington Beach. A couple questions regarding the offensive line. So my first question is, when we're talking about Pro Football Focus grades, does that factor in the mobility of the quarterback? So, for example, any team with Phillip Rivers, are they more likely to get downgraded because he's so unlikely to dip his way out of a sack or getting pulled down in the backfield? So by contrast, are we likely to have a better offensive line grade this year just because we have Tyrod Taylor back there or Herbert, someone who's a little bit more mobile than Phillip was? And then my second question is, going back to the 2019 draft when we took Jerry Tillery, I honestly did not like that pick at all at the time. I think especially because that there were so many offensive line options that were available. So I was just kind of wondering, would you guys be able to go back and kind of recap who were some guys that we could have taken instead of Tillery? Considering, you know, we were coming off a 12-4 season and it looked like the offensive line was so ripe from upgrade right there. What would you guys have done with that draft pick instead of taking Tillery? I'm just kind of curious to know what you guys' thoughts were. So thanks again, Bolt Up, and look forward to your answer. Thank you.
All right, well, first let me just say thank you for calling in. I think those are two really good questions. And to start with the Pro Football Focus and how they grade offensive linemen, in theory, it shouldn't be graded that way. Supposedly, the way that they do it is they take every single play. They have at least two different people watch that play and give a grade from -2 to +2. An average play gets graded as a 0, with a great play getting graded at +2, and a terrible play getting graded as -2. So, John, the Chargers offensive line shouldn't get a boost this season in their grades unless they play better, but it probably won't be from Tyrod Taylor breaking sacks or anything like that, because really, if the player gets beat on a block and that ends up being a sack that Tyrod Taylor gets away from, that should still be a negatively graded play for that offensive lineman.
Exactly. With the way PFF grades is, they're not grading the result of the play, they're grading basically your individual performance. If you're Tyrod Taylor and you throw this deep pass that's on the mark, you made a great read, perfect throw, but the receiver drops the ball, you still get a great grade for that throw. Now, when it comes to pass blocking, if you're an offensive lineman and you hold your block for like 4 or 5 seconds and it looks good, didn't get beat too bad, but there's still a sack, you basically did your job. That shouldn't be too bad of a grade. It could either be a 0 or a 1 probably. But if you're someone like a Mark Sanchez and you do the butt fumble by running into your own offensive lineman, that offensive lineman's not going to get a bad grade. He was in the middle of blocking, the quarterback ran into him. It really depends on that player's individual performance of that play. So if Tyrod Taylor escapes sacks, but the offensive lineman still get beat, it's still going to be the same bad offensive lineman we had before. The stats just don't reflect it.
Exactly. And I think that's what, when you look at plays like that and you're looking at Pro Football Focus, and you just see, you know, how many sacks are allowed. It doesn't really tell the whole story. It doesn't say how long the quarterback is holding onto the football. It doesn't say whether, you know, the guy got beat for a sack and then the quarterback ended up getting out of it. It doesn't keep track of those things. So for Pro Football Focus, technically what they should be doing is grading that as a negative play for the offensive lineman if he gets beat, no matter whether a sack occurs or not. But obviously, if a sack occurs and the quarterback fumbles and everything goes wrong on the play, it might be a slightly worse grade than if he had gotten away. But the other question you asked was, looking back on the 2019 draft class and potentially taking someone else. I mean, at the time, I wanted to take Cody Ford, even though I had really liked what I saw from Jerry Tillery, but I just thought there was bigger needs on the offensive line. But David, when you're looking back now that we've seen Jerry Tillery through one, you know, not very good season to say the least, and you look at that 2019 draft class, is there anyone that you look at and think, you know, the Chargers maybe messed up, knowing how bad their offensive line ended up being and the status it is right now, knowing you could potentially have a better player or even a different position player? Is there someone else you would go with?
I mean, first of all, hindsight is always 20/20, right? So you look at some guys that you could potentially have had or could have joined or could have had instead of Jerry Tillery. And yeah, it's tantalizing to try to, you know, figure out if any of those guys were worth it. And, you know, to know that, you got to look at which tackles were taken around the time Jerry Tillery was taken 28th overall. So there's Dalton Risner that went to Denver. There's Greg Little that went to Carolina. There's Cody Ford that went to Buffalo. And then there's Jawan Taylor that went to Jacksonville. And I think Jawan Taylor is the one guy based on his, you know, amount of snaps that he played and, you know, his grades overall are the reason why I would have loved to have Jawan Taylor, and he's a young tackle that could have helped solidify that position for many years. Think about this. He only gave up 8 sacks and 735 pass block sets, so that is pretty damn good. That's a large sample size that is definitely spread over the course of an entire season. So if I had my pick of guys, obviously with hindsight on my side, Juwan Taylor is my pick.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I mean, obviously 8 sacks sounds like a lot of sacks. And I mean, that's his rookie season, though, so I think you'd expect him to get a lot better, too. I think if you're going non-offensive lineman, it's easy to look at a guy like Deebo Samuel, who found a great role with the San Francisco 49ers, and having him be the Chargers' third wide receiver right now, or what the offense would have looked like if he was their third wide receiver last season. And you could even take a longer look at it and say, you know, I like what I saw out of Drew Lock, and maybe saying that the Chargers missed out an opportunity to get that guy late in the first round last year. So obviously there's a lot of places you could go with it, but when you're looking back on it and you see this production from some of these guys, it's not easy to think, you know, there might have been better players that you could have went with, but we're only one season in, so that's not going to tell the whole story. But let's get into the next voicemail. This one is from Zach from Florida. Let's hear what he has for us today.
Hey guys, Zach from Florida here. So I want to ask you about a current free agent that is still not signed by a team. And I want to get your thoughts on if we need that player or not. The player I'm talking about is Jadeveon Clowney. Now, I know we have supposedly a top 5 defense, and we do have Linval Joseph at defensive tackle, but as you have mentioned on the show, we don't have anybody behind him, really. And I don't know if it's off-the-field issues or asking too much money, but do you think this team should look into trying to sign him maybe for a year? He does have good sack numbers, so just want to get your thoughts of if he would be right for the team for maybe this upcoming season, and bolt up.
Thank you, Zach, for the question. I think really what it's going to come down to is the Chargers not having enough money to do that, but even if they did have enough money to do it, I don't know if the fit makes sense for the Chargers. I mean, I guess if he was coming on a very low contract, because really, he wouldn't be playing behind Linval Joseph or Jerry Tillery. He'd be playing behind Melvin Ingram or Joey Bosa, because he's more of a defensive end than a defensive tackle. But of course, you know, if you could add that kind of pass rush with those numbers to be a, you know, guy that's sitting behind Joey Bosa and maybe getting all three of those guys on the field at the same time with him and Melvin Ingram, that's obviously something I think we'd all be down for. But logistically, it wouldn't make much sense for the Chargers to pursue a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, and seeing what happened with the Seattle Seahawks and him thinking his value was more than they were willing to give him. And the fact that he sat out this long means I think there's a specific number he has in mind. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, John.
It doesn't make sense at all. And I mean, there's a long list of it. There's money. We already have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So if you're going to spend that much money just for a guy to be on the bench and be a rotational player, that doesn't make sense. And you think if he is going to be a defensive tackle, an interior defensive lineman, you think he's going to sit behind Linval Joseph and Jerry Tillery? I think he'd get more snaps than Jerry Tillery and Linval Joseph. It'd be kind of dumb to make him the backup.
He's going to be the starter wherever he ends up. I mean
basically, yeah. To say that he's going to be a backup, though, behind Tillery or Linval Joseph, I mean, I guess you might as well make Drew Brees the backup to Phillip Rivers while you're at it. I don't think it would make sense at all, but the number one thing is money. You got to have money saved away for injuries, and especially with COVID this year, you got to have the ability to sign players even off the practice squad or little undrafted free agents that are maybe $600,000, $800,000 contracts to fill in for COVID guys during the season.
Yeah, and this kind of season with the Chargers sitting with a pretty good amount of cap space at this point, but nothing that's just screaming, hey, you need to use this on more players. Obviously, that kind of talent, you'd find room for it if it made sense. But in this case, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I understand why you would, you know, think about wanting to try to add somebody like this. I mean, if you were thinking about, you know, trying to move on from someone like Melvin Ingram and you wanted to sign Jadeveon Clowney to a long-term contract or something like that, I could see how there could be an argument for that just because Melvin Ingram's going to be an unrestricted free agent after the 2020 season. But as of now, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Chargers to do it, even though obviously having all three of those guys on the same defensive line would definitely be exciting to say the least. But we do have one more voicemail to get into. This is Josh from Wisconsin asking a question about Pro Football Focus.
Hey guys, this is Josh from Wisconsin. I was just curious about PFF. I've heard a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, but I've been, the last few probably years really, I've been wanting to be more statistically knowledgeable, especially about the Chargers and football in general. So I was thinking about joining subscribing to PFF Edge, which I think, I haven't looked at it at the price in a few weeks, but I think it's $45 a year. And I've heard that it's not worth it, and the next subscription up is like $100 a year, and I don't want to do that. I will if I have to, but I'd rather not. So I was just curious if PFF Edge was worth it. So let me know. Thanks, guys.
All right, Josh. Well, I know there's obviously a lot of back and forth on, you know, whether people like Pro Football Focus or not, and we've always kind of said the same thing, which is just it can't be the end-all, be-all of the conversation. You can't throw out a Pro Football Focus grade and be like, all right, this means this player is really good or not good at all. I mean, there has to be some combination of looking at those grades and trusting what you see when you watch the games. But as far as statistics go, there are a few things that you would get if you get Pro Football Focus Edge. You can see how many snaps players are playing, which is nice. You can see for offensive linemen, per se, you can see how many sacks they've allowed. And you can also see how many penalties they've committed as well. And there's certain stats like that that are definitely worth it. But what you won't get from them is the game-by-game grades. You're not going to get any single-game grades. But you will get, as for example, an offensive lineman, the pass blocking and the run blocking grades, as opposed to just seeing what that player's overall grade is, or when it's a running back, his receiving plus his rushing grade and all of those things. So I think it kind of depends on how much stock you put into that, but there are definitely some good stats. But if you wanted to find out, you know, how many pressures an offensive lineman has given up, or you want to see how a player got graded for any specific game, that would be a lot tougher because you'd have to pay for that. I think it's like over $200 a year for the elite membership for Pro Football Focus. So I understand wanting to get into stats and all those things. And there's also some more websites like Football Outsiders and a couple others where you could potentially look into those, as well as finding, you know, some different metrics and things that dig a little bit deeper than what you'd find with just an average search. But Pro Football Reference has some pretty good stats and some advanced stats on it as well for looking at corners over the last couple of years, passer rating allowed, how many yards they allowed, and stuff like that. It's how many pressures the defensive ends get, you know, quarterback hits, stuff like that. Those things can be a little bit harder to find, but you'd have to pay big money for that for the Pro Football Focus subscription. But we do have one more segment to get into. We're going to be getting into The Athletic releasing lists of all of the offenses and defenses in the NFL and where they rank, and we'll get into the Chargers ranks right after this. All right, so one of the subscriptions that I like, actually, you know, we were talking about Pro Football Focus last segment, but there's some really good writing over that at The Athletic. Daniel Popper obviously works there. He's a former guest of the show, but they do a lot of really good in-depth looks at things. And this week we're going to be talking about a list that they made for all of the offenses and defenses in the NFL and where they rank. And the Los Angeles Chargers did really bad as far as their ranking on the offensive side of the ball, but they had a very good ranking on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll save the best for last and start with the Chargers offense, who ranked 28th in the NFL going into the 2020 season. Last year, they ranked 12th, and these are all based on Football Outsiders DVOA metrics. So even though the Chargers were 20th in the NFL as how many points they scored, they ranked 12th in offensive efficiency, which is still the top half of the league. And with how much we saw them struggle at points, it's surprising to even see them that high, especially, you know, the four-game stretch of rushing for less than 40 yards. But, David, there are a couple of concerns in here that I think are definitely concerns that have to be figured out, and I think they're obvious question marks, and the Chargers and their success offensively will be hinged on these things, but I still think that 28 is a little low, even while understanding why they came to that conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they got there, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, considering the other teams that are close to them as well. I mean, yeah, the Chargers are trying to change their entire offensive scheme. They're going from a stationary quarterback to more pass options, more play action, more a run-heavy scheme, even a different blocking scheme on the offensive line, going to a zone blocking scheme. And they don't have a lot of time to implement that, so they're really going to have to make the most of their practice time yeah, Shane Steichen's got his hands full, Anthony Lynn's got his hands full on that side of the ball, but it seems like, especially in this riding, they completely disregarded and ignored all the weapons that the Chargers do have. I mean, they have a lot of great players. 2,000-plus yard receivers last year in Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Hunter Henry was a very productive tight end when healthy. 55 receptions, 11.9 yards per reception average. Austin Eckler, one of the best all-purpose backs in the league. 1,550 all-scrimmage yards last year. That really pretty much got him that new contract that he signed. And then you look at the teams that are close to him, Daniel, and then it's even more egregious.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chargers, I mean, could be rated definitely higher, especially compared to a team like the Patriots, who just had their offensive tackle opt out for the season. They came in at 23, which is five spots ahead of where the Chargers ended up on the list. And you look at their offensive skill players, Julian Edelman, I mean, that's basically their only really good receiver. Mohamed Sanu is kind of whatever. And then you look at their offensive line now without offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia, and you wonder how good that's going to be, and the loss of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, obviously, as well. And or even the Giants with Saquon Barkley and three pretty good receivers and a really good tight end when he's healthy. I would still take the offensive skill players for the Chargers over them, especially knowing that they don't have their left tackle Nate Solder for the season either. But John, when you look at 28th as far as where the Chargers end up in this list, what does it make you think?
It tells me the Chargers are being slept on a little bit. I wouldn't say majorly. I don't think the Chargers offense is going to be anything top 15-ish. I mean, 15 is probably what you can hope for at best. As of right now, with the weakness on the left side of the offensive line going to be being a big problem. But to say that you're going to be 28th with all the talent that you have, a new game plan, a lot of running, which is basically where most of the strengths of this team are going to be with a running QB and a new offense that's built around running, you're going to have a lot more successful plays and a lot less chances to mess up. And without throwing the ball a lot, there's going to be a lot less turnovers. There's going to be a lot less turnovers. So you have to imagine this offense is going to be a lot more efficient than a 28th ranked offensive team. They should probably be ranked somewhere around like the 20th, 19th, somewhere close to there, just based on how efficient this offense is expected to be. But if you're going to sleep on the team, then this team could even be more efficient until someone actually goes, okay, let's take them serious.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I just think that this Chargers team is going to be pretty good offensively. They're not going to be great. They're not going to be flashy, but they have all the pieces to run a pretty good offense. I think a lot of it has to do with them discounting Tyrod Taylor. And, you know, Anthony Lynn fully believes that he should be a starter in the NFL, and we'll see if he's right about that, and we'll see if he's put into the right situation, if this is the right situation, whether he can succeed. But until we see what the left side of the offensive line looks like and the quarterback situation, I mean, it's hard to make crazy arguments about the Chargers being, you know, a top 10 offensively. But I do think with the way they're going, the way they're trying to incorporate their players in their skill sets and, you know, trying to go to something that fits Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert more as opposed to Phillip Rivers, I think they're trying to do the right thing. And the other thing this discounts is just the fact that the Chargers turned the ball over so many times in the red zone last season. The Chargers turned the ball over so many times in general. But when you take points off of the board like that, it makes me think that the Chargers might not have as many drives to go and put points on the board. But when they get in close, I don't think they're going to be fumbling those situations away. I mean, pun intended on that. So I think that that combined with the defense being able to take away the ball more this season is definitely going to be something that boosts the offense as well.
Especially with Josh Kelly, you don't have to worry about Eckler fumbling the ball at the goal line.
Eckler or Justin Jackson or Melvin Gordon, who all did it in some capacity last season. So I definitely
agree. Sounds like something I said yesterday.
Yeah, Josh Kelly, I mean, he remains an X factor for this team and kind of a wild card to some degree, just to see what that role ends up looking like. But as far as offensive skill players go for the Chargers, I mean, there's really no doubt about the players they have on this team. Really, it's what it's going to come down to is the offensive line and the quarterback play. But let's get over to the, you know, the part of it I agree with more, which is The Athletic ranking the Chargers as the second best defense in the NFL going into 2020. And we've had people hype up the Chargers so many times, and the Chargers always seem to be the dark horse team that is, you know, going to really take the leap this year and really do big things. That was with Phillip Rivers. But it seems like a lot of NFL analysts are kind of hitching their wagon to the Chargers being really, really good defensively. What they note on here is that the top three teams from 2019 defensively, none of those teams were in the top 10 defensively the year before. So it's hard to have a consistent defense from year to year. But here, the Chargers come in at number two. What they said was, in the red zone defense last year and in short yardage defense last year, combined with the number of turnovers they produced, which was the fourth lowest rate in the league, with those things balancing back to the median, balancing back to that average, and the Chargers getting much better, the fact that last year they were able to still do as well as they did, considering the fact that Derwin James was out for most of the year and everything else that happened, as well as the Chargers switching to less of a cover three and more man-to-man coverage in certain situations and blitzing more, John. I mean, all of those ingredients combined with the fact of the Chargers adding guys like Chris Harris Jr. and Linval Joseph. Hopefully you get a leap from a guy like Jerry Tillery on the inside. But even without that, you add the linebacker and Kenneth Murray. I mean, all signs are pointing up for this defense, and you're seeing very well-respected people kind of putting their name at it. So obviously we discounted what they said about the Chargers' 28th-ranked offense, but we have to take this with a grain of salt as well because they're number two. They still have to go out there and do it, but they have all the pieces to do so.
They definitely do have all the pieces to do so. I mean, there was a time in 2006 when ESPN was doing an episode where they would go through and name every single team's offense and defense ranked from 32nd all the way to first, and the Chargers were picked to have a top two defense and top two offense, and they actually went out and performed it, both of them. So the Chargers getting the number two defense is not something to really just look over. It usually, when someone says the Chargers are going to have a good defense, past, I'd say, what, 20 seasons, the Chargers have had one. And the fact that Gus Bradley has said, we're going to start working in some more blitz schemes, I think is what really makes this a number two, at least, ranked defense. You're actually going to be playing to some strengths on this team now and actually use these players better instead of just throwing them out there and saying, okay, just go cover a spot and let's hope for the best. You're actually becoming aggressive and using them to their strengths. That alone is going to make this defense way better. And you added so much talent, including Chris Harris Jr. I don't know why no one talks about this as much as I'd like to. I think Chris Harris is the key signing for this defense. That slot corner position is going to be the major difference. It allows us to use Desmond King all over the field with how athletic he is. We can have so many uses for Desmond King if the coaches get smart enough, and Chris Harris is going to make a lot of big game-saving plays for this defense. All the players we have on this defense should just be enough alone just to keep us in games, and then the scheming should be enough to make it to where it's 13 to 16 points allowed per game.
I'm also really excited for Kenneth Murray, too. I mean, honestly, the Chargers haven't had a great, really great linebacker in the middle of their defense in many, many years. And I think this guy's sideline-to-sideline speed and his tenacity and his leadership and just the way he carries himself is really going to be a very welcome change in the middle of that defense. The Chargers have playmakers at top and bottom. Now they have that middle part as well with Kenneth Murray.
And I think the biggest thing, too, is just competition at most positions, right? I mean, I think we wish that there was more competition for Michael Davis at the outside spot across from Casey Hayward. And you would probably like to see a little bit more competition at other positions as well. I mean, I think you look at strong safety and say, hey, there's not a lot of competition there, but you're okay with it because the first guy is Derwin James. But when you look at the defensive line, you have Justin Jones and Jerry Tillery trying to fight it out four snaps. You have even at behind Michael Davis having Brandon Faison trying to get on the field. You have a guy like Nick Vigil who's a veteran that's going to try to win that starting spot away from Kenneth Murray to try to show the team that, you know, he's more ready for the job at this point. So there's going to be guys pushing these players, and I think that's going to make the cream kind of rise to the top because Desmond King is going to have to find a way to get on the field. And Nazir Adderley could be nipping at the ankles of Rayshon Jenkins at free safety. So I think that there's a lot of competition on this defense. There's more depth than we're used to on this defense, and there's some definite areas they can improve that, including the defensive interior and even edge rushers. I mean, Uchenna Nwosu's nice. Isaac Rochelle is kind of whatever, but you put all of those things together with a defensive coordinator who is saying right now that he's willing to kind of change up his philosophies a little bit because the Chargers allowed over 70% of passes to be completed against them last season. You're not going to be always giving up that easy stuff. You're turning it from a bend, don't break defense to a just don't bend at all defense at some points. And I think That is something that is absolutely necessary, because the one thing is, guys, especially at the end of games, when you're playing cover three and you're sagging off the entire game, once those times come where you have to, you know, step on the opponent's throat, you're not able to do it, right? Because you're sagging off, you're allowing six or seven yard receptions, and you're letting teams kind of chew their way down the field. And you're kind of taking that away a little bit if you're willing to change things up, make teams earn it from you on third down with some man coverage, send some pressure sometime for a team that was 28th in the league in sacks last season with two of the best edge rushers in the NFL. All of those things put together really show a bounce back year for a defense that was actually decent last season. So I really, really like what the Chargers put together defensively. I think that free agent additions, even though you could look at Chris Harris Jr. and question it, that's a type of guy you just need on your team. I mean, he has caused so many issues for the Chargers in the past. Now he's doing that to somebody else and he's on your side. So I really love what they've done. I don't even think this is hyperbole to even think that the Chargers will be the second ranked defense in the league. They have all the talent to do it, and I think we'll see a big bounce back year in sacks, and I also think we'll see a big bounce back year in turnovers as well. Turning some of those turnovers into offense is going to be something that helps out the offensive side of the ball as well and helps this team score points, because we know that this offense is going to be limited in some ways. So really excited about what the Chargers have going defensively. Obviously, this basically is saying that the Chargers are an all-defensive team with no offense, when I think at the end of the day what you're going to get is an average team with a really, really good defense, and you can win a lot of games doing that if everything lines up. But health is most important for the Chargers, and having Joey Bosa and Derwin James on the field together for an entire season, which is something that we haven't seen yet, is going to be of utmost importance, and I'm very excited to see that happen in 2020. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Monday. But until then, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from, either following us on Spotify or subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, make sure to call into the voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924, and you can also text in to the line as well. But we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.